You're watching Tip TV Property with me, Jenny Hammond, and Zach Mir. And with us in the studio is Rob Ellis, CEO of Easy Property. Rob, good to have you with us today. So let's start with Brexit. We're seeing the result from the Supreme High Court. What kind of impact has that had on property prices in the UK, would you say?
Well, I think it's been a number of factors that have hurt certainly London prices. Stamp duty being one of the main factors, lots of different buy-to-let legislation that's come out recently, which has all had a massive impact on the sort of the prime, super prime, and I think there's another region now that's been designated as a near prime areas. So I think, you know, it is having a big impact. There's an uncertainty in the marketplace. I was actually talking to a big agent over in the Far East just the other week, and they've stopped selling UK properties for the fear of Brexit. So that's a big market that's been taken out of London. Not so much the rest of the country, but London is having a real impact with Brexit in particular.
I thought foreign buyers were trying to buy into the UK because the sterling's low, so especially for the Chinese and that sort of thing, they were sort of flocking to the UK.
Well, there's been a couple of reports that have said, oh, there was an impact just after Brexit with the exchange rate, but in reality, that's not what I've seen. And certainly, you know, having spoken to the men on the ground in the Far East, they're actually dissuading people to buy in the UK because of the uncertainty. And I think that has a bigger impact than the exchange rates.
Wasn't the tax the issue that Chancellor Osborne, before he was where he had to go, basically taxed the property market? It was the golden goose, and he just taxed it to death. So how does the government get out of that? Because Philip Hammond so far has just been totally quiet. But really, it was he over-egged it, Osborne. And how do we reverse that situation now?
Well, in some ways, the stamp duty changes was a good thing. So below the million-ish mark, you know, it levelled the playing field. It was always the market was always artificially stepped at the different stamp duty levels. So you would find a house price would go up to 500 and wouldn't go above it. You'd never get a 525, 530, 540 house. But now, so that's where that's been fluid. That's a much better way. But where is this destroyed it post the £1 million? And of course, it has the knock-on effect that if, you know, a chain is a chain, and if you've got no movement in the upper end, it slows everything down in the earlier part of the market. So it has destroyed the market for certainly the higher properties or London orientated properties.
Wouldn't it be better? It would have been better to have had a mansion tax in the end.
Yeah, would have been. I mean, it's a totally wrong move, and it does need to be changed drastically because, as I say, it's hurting London. And I mean, you can see that in the share prices of Foxtons in particular. It's taken an absolute hammering because they're so geared up towards that higher end London, central London market.
Because people really feel sorry for estate agents like Foxtons, don't they?
Well, you know, personally, of course.
Let's turn to the slides. So what are we looking at with the first one?
Okay, so this is the latest numbers that have come out of Land Registry. This is up to November last year. So really, we've got the latest prices. Here you see the top 10 most expensive cities in the UK for average house price. London obviously still steaming out there. Kingston upon Thames obviously so close to London that it's got that knock on. You're seeing some pretty general markets here. Cambridge has always been very strong. Oxford the same thing. You know, they might win the house price market, but not the boat race. But you know, a number of these markets are showing strength still. The interesting thing is when you compare this to the next slide, which is the average rise for the year. Bristol and Bath have done incredibly well. That southwest sector is very strong. I mean, we're finding in particular South Wales is a good market at the moment. Lots of transactions, not necessarily massive house price growth, but lots of transactions and lots of demand out there. But all these areas are showing real good growth. Oxford, again, was very similar to Cambridge in this, but if you go to the next slide, it's showing the biggest losers. And Cambridge has really stagnated. Now, whether that is a bit more because of the research centre that Cambridge is and the fact that, you know, it is so reliant on foreign investment, foreign residents, that Brexit is having that impact on Cambridge.
Does it make that an opportunity?
I think the growth is the problem. You know, if it's not growing, it's a lack of opportunity to then see what's it going to do in a year's time. It might pick up, it might not. I mean, we already know that that's the sort of the third highest house price area in the country. Is that going to have a lot more traction? Questionable. I mean, Cambridge, again, has always been a strong market because of lack of stock. Ultimately, the universities own a huge tranche of central Cambridge, so there is nowhere to build, there's nowhere to buy, and a limited number of properties coming on the market, which has always increased that price and put the pressure on the price. It has grown a lot on the outskirts over recent years, and whether that's going to continue or not is questionable. So I think Cambridge is a watch. Aberdeen wouldn't want to be up there at the moment. And Liverpool stagnated, which is surprising. There's a lot of
It kind of goes against headlines because everyone's saying that Liverpool's the place where property price is going up, and I'm surprised to see on the first side there was no Essex there, and everyone was saying, you know, Brentwood and those sort of places are where, you know, all the money's going.
Well, actually, when you look at the main markets that are getting traction are within sort of 30 to 60 minutes of central London, so real commuter belt stuff. That's working really well. So that sort of outer M25, outer London areas are really strong still.
Well, speaking of commuters, rather, I mean the rail strikes hasn't that had an impact on the market?
Yeah, I mean I think certainly it's going to put people off. If you think that the Southern Rail issue is going to be a long term factor, which I think
it already has been, hasn't it?
It's been a long time now, and it's not looking like it's going to get any better anytime soon. Then I think you're going to be put off in buying a house near a line that you can't get into London. So it will have an impact if it carries on.
But then again, I mean, like the Cambridge thing, is there any opportunity to go, you know, to find distressed sellers or distressed people probably on any train?
I think you'll find lots of distressed people on the trains, that's for sure. But yeah. I think at the moment it's not so much because you're not seeing big drop-offs. And again, when you start talking stamp duty, that takes out a lot of the opportunity there because you've got to be buying properties at a much lower price to be able to get that money back, which you've got to be quite distressed to say that.
But overall, in the post-Brexit period, is the market worse or better than you would have expected? I mean, if somebody told you a year ago this is where we would be, what would you think?
Again, it's very mixed. So central London, again, very tough market. You know, the zone one and two, wouldn't want to be in that right now. Outer London, still growing very strong. So areas like the far sort of eastern London, areas like Waltham Forest, Walthamstow, Leytonstone, great areas, growing well. Lots of strength there. Again, is it getting a bit steep? We've just seen just in this last couple of weeks, a very small two-bedroom new build house, £500,000 in the middle of Walthamstow. That's still a lot of money, and you know, how much further is that going to go? That's a starter home. You know, are we still talking about a starter home at £500,000 in London now? And that is right on the edge. It's a little bit worrying. How much more can it go? I mean, I've had businesses in that area for 15 years, and looking at the way it's grown, it's
a bit of a binary market. When things are hot, they're really hot. When they're cold, there's nothing you can do. So
that's right. I mean, the best thing you can do is get out when you can. I mean, that's the problem is, you know, you can catch a falling sword on that one. But property historically has always done well. It will continue to grow. It might take a bit of a dip and then come back, which it has shown time and time again. But you know, it is the same old thing. How do you defend against that? You buy properties at the right price and you hold and make sure you're not too geared.
Finally, I mean, if interest rates do have to go up, let's say they go up to 2% or 3%, which would be still very, very low, because of Trump or because of any other factor, how much do you think that would impact the market?
I think 2% still got that flexibility there. I know some of the stress testing is pushing it to 5%, and that is extreme, I guess. Mind you, it wasn't that long ago that mortgage rates were at 6%, 7%, 8%, so... Yeah, I think it will have an impact. I think probably legislation is having more of an impact than the fear of interest rate rises. But certainly, I mean, the government need to do something about the whole buy-to-let sector because they are doing everything they can to destroy it at the moment, and it is having a big impact.
Well, on that note, we're going to finish there. Rob, thank you. Rob Ellis there, CEO of Easy Property.